So the reading today is from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 9. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendour. Seek the Lord while you may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, I'm Marion, and it's lovely to be with you. We just heard that passage read to us from Isaiah chapter 55. And the wonder of this passage from Isaiah is the openness of the invitation to follow God's way. Yes, it does have certain clauses that reminds us that God is in charge, but with a gentleness that almost passes belief. God is offering us all that we need for life, and it's free, freely given by a loving and wonderful God. Just as Jesus said when he showed the disciples that the lilies of the field did not have to do anything to increase their beauty, God says that everything we can possibly need is there, waiting for us to receive. But we do have to look deeper first. God is talking firstly about our souls. We have first to come to him and listen to what he has to say, and then ask God what he really needs, not what we think we might need. He is saying that the food we really need is for the benefit of our souls. The closer we are to God, the more we realize that the satisfaction we get from earthly things is as nothing compared with the joy we will have from being closer to God and his thinking. All our hunger will be satisfied if we live as God wants us to live, close to him. God has promised David an everlasting covenant, even though he was far from perfect. He had made David a leader and a commander of all Israel, that all nations will come and want to join Israel so that they too can worship God when they see all the glory that surrounds them. God is inviting everyone to come and join in with all the celebrations while he is near. He is inviting even those who are wicked to give up their wrongdoing, to cease their bad thinking and turn to him so that he can forgive them. Isn't this what Jesus also said to everyone he met? Repent your sins and God will forgive you. But first we have to acknowledge that we have got things wrong. We have to see what we are doing could be against what God would have us do. We have to begin to try and think like God somehow. We have to turn to him, and then he will be so happy to pardon us for all the things we have got wrong. To turn to God, we need to really want to be close to him, to begin to think like him. Or as Isaiah says, we must thirst for him. We also have to give up all our wicked ways and thoughts. It's no use having unhealthy thoughts and wicked ways and expect God to say, okay, we'll forget about that and you'll be forgiven. And then just go back to behaving badly as we did before. In medieval times, they tried this by purchasing pardons for past sins, by giving money to the church. It was called purchasing indulgences. It left human beings happy, but I don't think that that was what God had thought about this. He showed very little in way of repentance, and it was more like a cheap way out. I suspect that those who had the money to do this then went on to repeat the fault again and again, thinking that God was quite happy for this arrangement. I don't think he was or is. We cannot claim that we are truly repentant if we go back again and again. Sin and forgiveness are not inextricably tied together. We have to be really sorry for what we have done and try not to do it again. To be truly thirsty for closeness to God, for the joy of being with and like him, we must trust him to give us all that we need. This may not be what we think we need. It may be something completely different. As it says in the last two verses of the reading for today, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. We have to live with the knowledge that God is the supreme being, perfect in every way. He is in charge, and with him we are safe as long as we faithfully follow his way of doing things and of thinking. Now that is something to aspire to, but it takes a lot of concentration. Try as we will, we are human with many faults, and our imperfections keep getting in the way, and it may be beyond our capability. But we can get a glimpse of heaven if we make every effort to achieve something of the magnificent supremacy of our Creator. We just have to keep praying for his help, resting in him, and try to live the perfect life following his commandments. Jesus even made it simpler for us. He told us that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and then to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. That's four very simple things, but at the same time, two very difficult ones. To love God completely and to love everyone else because they are all God's creation, and God loves them just as much as he loves us. And that is what we must thirst for. We must thirst with all our being for that closeness with God and trust in his unfailing love. Amen.